So, is there anything else you want to share or
I do have a question. So, okay, so when you started all of this, the first thing that grabbed me was the you used words like legislating government, bench of three, that kind of stuff. So that kind of grabbed me. So I think I'm ready to start learning. I don't even know what that means. When I was at the Ian Clayton conference and the Lord said, the Vancouver House of Prayer, I'm going to rename it, and its purpose is to legislate government. I'm like, great. What? Okay. So I went and I thought, okay, I'm going to try it a little bit. So I went on top of my, got a mandate, went on top of my mountain, and I thought, okay, I'm going to just legislate in my neighborhood. So I just started speaking to evil and wicked men that you will leave the neighborhood. And then I went to my county. And so I wasn't quite sure what to actually do. Am I changing laws? Am I changing people? I mean, so I just started talking to things that were crime-ridden. I said, you evil and wicked men, you will leave the county, you will drop, your sex traffic, whatever it was more along that line. So what does it actually mean?
Well,
And how do you do it?
there's in a sense, there's nothing wrong in what you're describing there and how that what you're doing there, because that's administering the authority you have for that area to bring blessing and favor and to remove things, loose things that are hindrances. I think when it comes to legislative government, it's rather than just looking at dealing with the negative side of things, it's looking to establish new things in the order of the kingdom. So that would, let's say we're moving into maturity within the body. So as sons, we get to administer the kingdom as sons of God, rather than just servants, stewards, or even friends or lords. There's a different dimension of when you start operating in kingship, you begin to not just administer the laws that have been established, but you begin to set your own legislative laws to bring new orders, to bring new seasons, to bring things into an alignment with the purposes of God going forward. And that means you have to be able to get legislative decrees authorized and brought into law. Because it's like, if you think in, I don't know in your nation, but in our nation, if the government wants to pass a law, then it gets put into the House of Commons, it gets debated. If there are issues brought up, they're discussed, all those sorts of things. And eventually, there's a vote cast, if you like, and then if there is a majority, then it gets brought into law. Well, of course, the kingdom doesn't operate in terms of as a in the same way as in democracy. But it does have similar ways of bringing things into legislative order, and so there are protocols. And so I found that my initial experience of those protocols, wisdom showed me the protocols. In Proverbs 8, it very much talks about wisdom enabling kings, princes, and nobles to rule. And I think that's three levels of authority. And wisdom took me to the court of kings, and most of the other courts I'd been into, I was usually in front of a bench facing chancellors or facing things that I was presenting something to. But in this court, I was sat on a throne with a bench in front of me and a scroll. And I'm sort of thinking, ooh, what do I do with this scroll? And I'm thinking, this is not normal. I'm usually coming presenting something and it gets authorized. So I'm sort of sat there and just from my spirit really just flowed a whole series of declarations. Okay. And I saw them form on the scroll in front of me. I didn't write them. They appeared on the scroll in sort of a written form. And there was a whole list of them. And so I was like, oh, wow. And I'm sort of almost like, what do I do with this now? And wisdom just says, right, now we're going to authorize this. So we went to the Court of Chancellors, and therefore I presented this scroll, and there were four, some loosely angels, but they were of a different order in terms of chancellors. They're a different order of things. So anyway, so I present this scroll and I sort of put it before them, and they start debating it, talking about it. And I'm sort of just standing there really watching them. And then I wasn't privy to exactly what they were saying, but I knew that they were looking at what was written, and they were saying, you know, is this in line? Can this come into legislative order? And eventually they sealed it. So they sealed it with the lion and the ox and the eagle. And those four, so they sort of stamped the seal on it. And so I think, okay, great, it's authorized. What do I do now? And then wisdom took me to the Court of Scribes. And I presented this sealed document. And they then they wrote it out onto a scroll. And the scroll just appeared in the air. And basically they said, right, okay, we are bringing this into record as a law. So I'm like, okay. this sort of whole process was one in which I was very much involved in, but it wasn't a voluntary one that I knew what I was doing. I just went with the flow, and I was learning protocol. And so then it was like, okay, great. This is in law. So I thought, okay, what do I do now? You know, do I need to do something with this for my mountain or whatever? So what I felt was, you know, what I need now, I have the lion and the ox and the eagle in agreement, but that's three of government. But what about opening this up? So what I did was I shared it with the bench of three here, with our bench of three, shared it. So look, this is, and so I wrote, came out of the encounter, wrote it down on a scroll. I thought, I'm going to write it on a scroll. So I got this piece of nice parchment paper, and I wrote this thing on a scroll. And I sort of gave it to them. I said, okay. And they said, okay, great. Well, what are we supposed to do with it? So we then stepped back into heaven, the three of us together, and we went to our mountain, and we took this scroll with us, and then we then got revelation of what we needed to do. And we saw what we needed to do. We saw we needed to write this scroll out, and we needed to sign it. And so we signed it in our capacity as the bench of three, but we needed earthly agreement to bring heaven and earth into alignment. And so we then took that scroll, and we brought it to our council of 12 that we are looking to establish, which is a whole different thing. But so we brought it there, and we just said, look, this is what we've seen. This is what God showed us we needed to do with this. Are you in agreement? Are you willing to sign this to bring government? And so eventually, you know, they did. And then we took it back into the Court of Kings, as all into it, and I read it out. I just read it out, and it was when I read it out, there was this, I don't know, just this reverberance and frequency that came from it. And so I read it out, and we come into agreement. And then we then took it to the Court of Angels, and we look for angelic assignment. Because there were some quite specific things on this declaration. And having done that, the next Sunday I was away somewhere, and the very first thing on this law just got birthed. It just, the spirit just came and opened up the environment for an outworking of it, you know. So that was my first experience of legislating something like that. Now, we then now have to outwork that legislation and see it manifested on earth as it is in heaven, you know. And of course, you know, not everything is just A, B, C, D. It's just going to happen one day after the next. This stuff really is a time scale attached to it. It's not just an instant thing. There's a progression of things on there that, you know, that you see. So that was really my first engagement with that type of experience. And subsequently, now, I've had a couple more encounters around that, but that's what I feel these things are. These things are really where we begin to administer from our spirit out of our destiny that which we have authority over, and you can't just do it from your mountain without really having a kingship role.
Okay.
And so before all that happened, you know, God gave me an orb, and I had this orb in my hand, you know, and I had a scepter, and I had this orb, and I was on my throne, and I just got taken to a different level. So I went from operating in the realm of the kingdom of God and being on my normal mountain and just having authority, and I was invested with a higher level of authority in the realm of the kingdom of heaven. And that's where I got access to the other courts, the court of kings, okay, and court of the upright, men in upright linen. Because what happened subsequently to that, I got wisdom then took me to the court of the upright, and I found there were 12 men in white linen on thrones, apart from, you know, sort of the, I mean, it's an amazing place, but apart from, they were just sat there on these thrones, and in front of them there were these mantles, and there were these flaming torches, and I'm sort of standing there thinking, who are these guys? And I recognized some of them naturally, and some of them is like my spirit just knew who they were. So, you know, wisdom said these are the 12 that have been assigned to your ministry, and yeah, you need to basically understand how you're going to interact with them. They are wanting to trade into what you're doing because they recognize something of their government, and they will help you. So I'm like, okay, how do I do that, you know? And so when we got our 12 together, and we just stepped into heaven together, and I thought, let's go and do some stuff, and we stepped in. And while we were all there, I opened my eyes and I actually looked, and behind each of the people, one of those men in white linen was standing. So I thought, okay, I need to, who's behind who? You know, so I'm looking around thinking, okay. And it's like, well, who's behind me? So I'm looking behind. And so I sort of quickly sort of memorized it, and then later on I wrote it all down, and I sort of said, okay, this is what I saw. I'm just going to tell you who I saw behind you. It's up to you now to go and engage with them. And some people have really, really embraced that. You know, all of them had some sort of an administrative apostolic function in the kingdom. You know, they some of them had ministries which are very well known, but that wasn't the reason why they were assigned. It was the things that were behind that they had a heart for, and that they were really unable to fully complete because things weren't at that point when they were ministering ready for it. So it was a really interesting set of encounters, And some people have really embraced that. And some of them have, you know, one of the guys was Evan Roberts, who was one of the ones who administrated the Welsh Revival and was probably one of the ones responsible for the Welsh Revival stopping. And so it wasn't just the positive side of things. It was also there is insight and wisdom that they can impart into don't make the same mistakes that I made. Right. You know, and we had one of the guys who that was behind, he went back to where the chapel in Wales recently, took a weekend and went back to where Evan Roberts first ministered, and because he just wanted to engage, you know, and some have really engaged more than others so far, but I know that that's part of this process, that we learn to go into a deeper realm, really, of things, of how we can administer the kingdom from those perspectives, you know. But I know there's more, you know. I think I'm just beginning to understand some of the nature of. Recently, I was taken again by wisdom, you know, on a Sunday morning. You know, I just usually just engage in worship and get lost in it, and I'm sort of standing there, and I'm on Wisdom's Heights, and I'm like, oh, what am I doing here? Where are you going to take me this time? And so she took me outside this court, and I wasn't allowed in, which was quite frustrating. And I'm like, you know, because why am I not allowed in here? You're taking me here. I'm not allowed in it, you know, because I couldn't go through the door. I was just outside this courtroom. But I sort of think, okay, there's got to be a reason. I'm sure God will show me. So, you know, recently I've sort of taken people on the Firestones, and my experience of those Firestones has taken me to a different level in certain things, particularly the governmental things, because there's things on the Firestones. My first experience of the Firestones was very much about, you know, the characteristics of God and God's DNA in terms of his character and the fruit of the Spirit and things like that. But when I went back, I began to engage in much more governmental things that were at a deeper level within those Firestones. And so I began to, in the ordinances of God and the ways of God and the statutes and the commandments of God and these different things. And there was 9 of them. So I'm on one of the Firestones, and I'm sort of getting blasted, really, while I'm there, and I'm leading people in this encounter, and I'm just getting really blasted, thinking, we need to go on to the next step, but I don't want to move, you know. And so, but I was given this seal, this Chancellor's seal, and it felt really heavy around my neck, and it was, you know, it had this sort of ornate sort of thing, and so I'm given this seal, and I knew it was really significant because it came out of this encounter. And so as a result of that, I began to, okay, God, what does this mean? You know, do you want me to operate as a chancellor? What does that mean? And so I find when I get stuck, you know, sometimes I just go and hang out in my garden, and I just go and talk to God, but I wasn't getting anywhere with it. And it was almost like he just wasn't telling me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and talk to Wisdom. She's the one who's really helped me with governmental issues. So I went to see the Wisdom. I said, what am I supposed to do with this seal? So she first of all, she took me to back to the court. And she said, now you can go in. So I thought, okay, great. So I got this seal. So this is obviously something to do with a whole administrative level that is different. So I went in there, and there's the father on the throne. And the court was the court of the councils of the fathers. And I went in there, and the father is on his throne, and there are the 12 elders on each side of the throne. So there's 24 elders. And so I'm standing there thinking, ooh, okay, this is what do I do now, you know? And so the father just looked, and, you know, he says, okay, what? And so he, I was a bit slow, really, because I was a bit gobsmacked. I was a bit slow, so it was like, so he said, what was the first line of the law that you brought into legislation? And it's like, and it was all to do with fatherhood and sonship. So he says, right, you're standing before me as a father. I'm fathering you. And so then the revelations began to come of the 12 laws that would come came out of Jerusalem and the 12 laws that would come out of Zion associated with the 24 elders. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay. And so then sort of, I'm sort of there for a while and I sort of start to absorb some of that. And then wisdom says, right, okay. So then she took me to this place, and I mean, it's obviously a place in the realm of heaven on the mansion of God, and there were 12 doors, big doors, like really big doors, and 12, they had 12 names on them, and she said, these are the 12 chancellor's houses. So, and I recognized one because I'd been there before, the treasury room, and it was the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was the chancellor of the treasury room. But there were 11 others. And so wow. I engaged with them. I saw what the names were. I went in, and I met each of the chancellors and got their names. And then I went on holiday. And now I've got to go back and discover what the role of those chancellors are. And I'm like, oh man, there's a whole lot of work here to find out what are they, how are they functioning, what am I supposed to do in relation to them. But I know it's all about legislative government and the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek being the chancellor, chief chancellor of the treasury. There are a whole lot of different orders of chancellors. So I met these chief chancellors of these rooms, but there are other chancellors, and we get to be chancellors. That's what came out of this. Okay. There will be people who come to the chancellor's court, and we will be sitting actually administering their scrolls. Because a lot of these things, the angels are there because we've not taken our places. They were always designed for us. We've never been mature enough to engage. Now I feel like a child, really. I think God has a laugh, really, because when I think, if I don't class myself as mature in this stuff, I'm just like, you give me this thing, I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? But I'm sufficiently hungry to go and pursue it and find out, and then find out what I'm supposed to do with it, and then what I'm supposed to do in with others, and how am I supposed to help others in this, and learn, And I threw this out last night at our 12. Oh no, more stuff. I said, well, it's okay. I've got no idea what to do, so we're not going to be doing any of it yet. But we will be. Because that is what we need to do in terms of government. We need to learn how to rule, right. Mm-hmm. How to establish government. And some of the names of these houses were, I'm like, ooh. And one of them was the Affairs of the Nations. And I'm like, okay, so what do I do with that? So it was really interesting. And I can see the journey that I was on to get me there. Because my first encounter in heaven was on the Firestones, in 2008. That was my first heavenly encounter, totally involuntary. I got on these Firestones. It was an amazing experience. I never went back there, until God suddenly started to tell me, you need to take people to that place. And I'm like, well, I haven't been back there myself. He said, yeah, but you should have been. Because there's a whole dimension, because that was where Satan was, when in the role of Lucifer, he was on the Firestones, on the mountain of God. That was the revelation that the 9 stones of his body reflected out into creation. And when those stones were removed from his body, and he was removed from that place, then we are supposed to take his place. Just as we're supposed to take his place as the covering cherub around the ark to form an ark of the manifestation of the presence of God, it's for us. He was only ever there to release that to us. But of course, he refused to release it to us and took a third of the angels that essentially removed all the light into it. So, there's a lot that I guess we're learning about and just beginning to to come into, but you begin where you are, you know. So you know, if you operate as a bench of three, then you begin to administer what that is about, you know. And of course, every bench of three is different depending on where it is, what it's designed to do, you know, whether it's regional or national or international or local or whatever, you know. And so, you know, I've got more questions than answers myself, to be honest. But I'm sort of, I'm realizing that I'm on a journey with it, and you know, as I sort of spend more time there, I know some of those things will begin to unfold. You know, and to be honest, it's like when I was on my first fast and I went into heaven, God showed me these nine governmental orders, and I had no idea what they meant. You know, so I knew what the words meant, and I knew that they were all different. And they came out of Psalm 119 in the first 40 verses of there. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was in a dream, and I had this verse that God was speaking to me, and it caused me to go back and look at it. And I wrote down a whole load of things, but didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have a grid of reference to use that until now. Mm. But, you know, that was sort of 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And that's what God does. Sometimes it's like you get things, you sort of treasure them in your heart, but you don't really, you know. And I've gone back and I've meditated around it, but not really, not got anything more concrete until I went onto the Firestones, and all of a sudden, what was coming out of the Firestones for me was this, you know, the ordinances, the commandments, the laws, the statutes, the precepts of God, and all of a sudden, my mind couldn't contain it. It wasn't being imparted as knowledge to my mind, but my spirit was absorbing it into the fabric. It's almost like it was connecting up with light in my DNA, and now it's there imparted. I know that it will begin to draw me towards it, and that's what it did. You know, it drew me towards wisdom and rulership and different dimensions, you know. So my encouragement would be, you know, keep going, but, you know, keep going back for mandates, and some of those mandates will mandate you to establish legislative things. Some of them are mandates to do what you're doing. Okay, I'm going to decree this. I'm going to bind this. I'm going to loose this in my neighborhood, in my area. I'm going to release favor, you know. And some of it will be, you know, okay, I'm going to be given insight into the schemes of the enemy, so I need to then clear the atmosphere with the assigning angels to do that. You know, there's things we get to do, and there's things we just get to send the angels to do. But then that begins to legislate. There is a need to understand. You know, I don't really like talking about the enemy's stuff, and I don't encourage people to look into it, because, you know, I want to teach people how to look into God. But I know that you do have to know certain things. And so, you know, the very first time I saw mountains and I saw our church mountains, I saw structures that had been established there as temples, because the enemy always wants worship. And so I realized that it is worship of the enemy that gives him the authority to be on our mountains when we should be there. And I found that there were things that go on here that are because of what's in the atmosphere of the earth, and there's this cycle that keeps getting perpetuated because no one breaks it. So there are cultural things that have been established in culture because of the principalities and powers and rulers of in dark places and that stuff. But what that does, that is because above that, in the area of the kingdom of God, there are things that are on mountains that shouldn't be there, that are authorizing those things in the atmosphere of the Earth. And I particularly saw that each one had a temple that had two pillars, and that each pillar, one of the pillars was fear, and the other pillar was a specific thing depending on what the mountain was, and those things is where we worship. So any time that we operate in fear, we're actually worshiping the enemy, because we're trusting in him to bring about what we are fearing, or what the fear is, rather than trusting God to protect or to bless or to whatever. And so it's worship. Now, no one would like to think that they're worshiping the devil or some demon, but in reality, if we're operating in fear, that's what we're doing. And they love it. And it gives them the authority to establish something. You know, so when we get to deal with these things, we have to dismantle those things in our lives first to make sure that we're not empowering anything through what we're doing. And then we need to see how to dismantle those things maybe in our neighborhood. And there may well be things that we get assigned to do that undo some things that have been done. Sometimes we may need to go back onto the timeline and see some of the things that were done and undo them. Because those have established legal right over our area that we need to remove. And we can use the court system to remove the legal rights, and we can go and do that. But, you know, this government is government, you know, and it's, I'm not saying it's not fun, but it is also a serious nature to it,
mm-hmm.
in that we are responsible for these areas that God has given us, and therefore responsible to outwork these things, you know. And so, yeah, there's a whole load of stuff around that, really.
I have a question. When you were doing the declarations,
yeah.
So, and they were coming out of your mouth, and you saw them on the scroll.
Yeah.
I know it's always particular to a certain region. So, were those just flowing out of your mouth? Were they just coming to you from? Was your mind involved? You know, was it something that was supernatural that was happening, or was Absolutely. you just knew what to declare?
Yeah, literally, what it felt like I was birthing something out of my eternal destiny, just coming out of my spirit. It felt like a birthing process. Really, this was something that I was destined to do, and now I was in the time and season. And it just came out. There was no cognitive thinking about what it just came directly from something which I guess is encoded within my spirit, really. And I think that's what engagement with things like the Firestone does. It almost it encodes things or unlocks things that are encoded in our spirit, and all of a sudden we just are drawn where we were never drawn before. Or into a greater dimension, into something where we might have had an insight into something before. It just seems to do that, you know. And I think, you know, we are called to be creative. And as Jesus created the universe, there is a part that's within us as sons that draws us towards that. You know, there have been a few occasions where, you know, I've gone out to the edge of the galaxy and I've let things just come out of my spirit. You know, things that were just like, wow. You know, in terms of, you know, I birthed a galaxy which was not spiral but was infinity shaped. This sort of infinity sign, this covenant sign. And I just sort of saw it burst, and I saw all the stars starting to come into alignment. Now, you know, I'm just sort of no idea what I'm doing. It just God took me out there, and it just, like, my spirit just knew what to do. There was no cognitive thing at all. It was just like, this was natural to my spirit because I was designed to do this. And we're all designed to do it, you know. It's like we're all created in the image of God. We're just coming back into a revelation of our sonship and what being a co-heir with Jesus is all about. You know, all authority in the heaven and earth is given to him, and we're co-heirs with him. You know, we just got to mature to a place where we're entrusted with that to do, you know. And so the tutoring and the governors that are there to help us, you know, and the process of transformation and making sure that as a living sacrifice, you know, the DNA is transformed and you know, and the lies are removed and the iniquity is dealt with and the blood. You can't short circuit that process. You know, it's like I went through a lot of transformation, you know, and still do. You know, and I still, every day, I still present myself to God, hey, if there's anything that's going to hinder me fulfilling your will today, hey, just deal with it. Show me, you know, search my heart, you know, show me if there's any motivations that aren't right, any genetic, bloodline, seed line stuff. You know, I still give God permission every day to do it. Now, most of the time, you know, he's not showing me anything, but sometimes he does. You know, I've spent a number of years just, you know, doing it. Now, you know, lie busting and things like that are all part of that sort of thing that help us see, okay, let's get blockages removed so that we're transformed and there's a flow of life and everything else, you know. So, you know, in a sense, you know, what I'm describing, not everyone can just go and do.
Right.
But we know when our spirit is drawing us towards something. You know, and then as we're faithful to do what we're mandated to do in those littler things, then, you know, God sees that faithfulness and he just begins to then take us into the other levels. You know, I sort of do go as like a forerunner and I experience certain things and whatever, but I know that's because others need to follow. You know, it's not that, oh, I'm going to get to do that and no one else is. It's like I know this is because others need to learn how to do it and gauge it. And I sort of throw some of the stuff out there just to inspire people to think, hey, there's so much more right. that we can go after. You know, I'm not anything special other than I'm special to God. But then you're special to God and Cindy's special to God and, you know, Penny's special to God. We're all special Absolutely. To God. Yeah, we're all unique, and we've all been created with a destiny, you know, and it's great to connect with that. You know, one of the things I also discovered when I was on one of the Firestones is that I could step back into the heart of God. And yesterday, you know, I was hanging out with the burning ones, and we went into the heart of God, and it's just like it's going home really, because that's where we were formed and shaped, and that God's thoughts about us were crafted, and it's when you go back there, it's just like, wow, you know, this is where I came from, you know, it's great, you know. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, carry on. Yeah.
Well, when I went to the Ian conference a year ago, and the Lord revealed that, and he says it's to legislate government, and my mind went, what? And my spirit went, oh yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it felt like, oh yeah, I know what that is. And then I was like, I have no idea what that is. So I feel like I need homework. Yeah. So, I mean, when we went on the Firestones, you took us in a, you know, encounter on the Firestones, and I stepped on them, and I slipped down in them. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was wild. Right, I mean, each it, one, yeah. It was like,
you get so I'm going to,
I want to, you know, go back there. And is there anything else that, because I feel when I was on top of my mountain, I was like, okay, what do I do now? Do I go somewhere? And I've engaged with, she's engaged me many times from long time ago. Hmm. I've had encounters with wisdom, and I had an encounter just full blown at the Ian conference, just amazing. And I know she's always been there, and she's the reason I know things. I've always said I have a knower, and so I guess just maybe engaging her more. Is there something else that I can, like, study or just from a practical standpoint of stepping in and practicing?
Yeah, I mean, it's developing a lifestyle. That's the key to all of this. This should be our lifestyle. So, in a sense, daily cultivating, being around the presence of God around the ark, looking right into the will and purpose of God, stepping into Him, that's where our heart begins to be drawn to our destiny, and desires of our heart begin to get changed. You know, I spend more and more time there. You know, I used to spend most of my time in the garden and in the garden of God, and I still go back there at times, you know, and because that's the sort of the relationship and the sort of intimate place. But as God has wanted me to mature, you know, I've had to spend more time standing in His presence, you know, engaging with that sort of the name of God and that Yod Hey Vav Hey, and there's just that which begins to align ourselves. And I think ask for a mandate every day.
Right.
You know? And in asking for the mandate, then it's like, okay, what do I need to do with this mandate? Is this, I go to my mountain and I just administer this because it's something, again, like you've been doing, I'm going to speak into my neighborhood, whatever. Or actually, no, is this a mandate to engage in legislative stuff? So if it's that, then okay, then I'm going to go and step into, by faith, step into the Court of Kings. You know, the reason I've been able to step into some of the things is because someone told me there was this court. if there's this court, maybe I can go there. Yeah? But then if I have a mandate and I'm unsure of what to do with it, I would take it to Wisdom, because she is there to help us rule, you know, and just build that relationship. And people have said to me, well, yeah, but you spend so much time there, why aren't you going to God? And I went to God and He said, I'm not jealous of you spending time with Wisdom. That's what she's there for. You know, it's like when God's on His throne and He's doing stuff, it's like, do I really want to go and interrupt Him with my little thing? Because He's given me this wonderful resource and this person who just knows everything about what I need to do. Mm. And so, you know, I would just encourage you to develop those things. It's developing these as pathways so that then you can just re-engage them and they become yours. You know, so when I say, okay, this is what Wisdom showed me, you know, I've then gone back over the pathway. So I've gone back to it and back to it so that it becomes something that's my pathway. You know, and it's not just my pathway, no one else's. It's my pathway because I've developed it, but then I want to share it so other people can develop it, so it's their pathway. You know, and I want people to tell me about places they've gone that I've never been so that I can think, oh, wow, that would be a great place to go. You know, because I'm not going to get to know everything. Other people are going to have places and things, and I can think, okay, great. You know, I can learn to go there. What does that mean? You know? And some of it does, obviously, I guess, depend on our calling and the different things, but in general, we're all sons. You know, we've all got that level of responsibility to bring creation back into order and to establish as being manifest as sons. So we all get to do these things, really.
So I guess the thing is, I'm just going to go, I mean, most of my stuff has been, okay, I know there's a court there, and I step in and go, okay, I'm here, what do I do, hi, yeah. You know, so the Court of King, okay, I'm just, you know, just yeah. Do it.
And okay. The first thing, get a mandate to do it.
Okay. You
know? So some of that, I think that is what I've discovered more than anything else. I don't want to just do something because I think it might be a good idea. Right. That's okay in practice and, you know, in maturing, because it's just like, oh, wow, great, what's it like to go over here? And go, there's no problem with that. But when you get to a point where it's like, no, the kingdom operates on mandates, on government. And while I'm learning about it, that's okay. But now I know that, now I'm responsible to get a mandate to do something.
Okay.
So I don't do anything without a mandate now. I really want to make sure that I am authorized to do what the will of the Father is for me today, you know? And so if the will of the Father is for me today to legislate something, then I get a mandate to do that. Now, obviously, if I have previous mandates, then I can continue to outwork them. But if there's something specific for today, I'd really like to know. You know, I'd really want to know, you know, what is your will? I mean, Romans 12, 1 and 2, the ultimate thing of that is all the transformation and everything else is so that I might know what your perfect will is. And so a lot of us operate in the general sense of God's will. We know what the Bible says. We know we can do this, we can do that. But Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He didn't operate just generally because he was mature. And it's okay to operate generally when we're not mature. But the more mature we get, more responsible we are. You know, so now I know that you can go and get a mandate, I have to go and get one. I wouldn't feel right now about doing it without one. You know, so, you know, for these groups and things, you know, I basically go each day and I get a mandate from God. You know, am I authorized to do anything? Is there something you want me to do? Because there's certain things I wouldn't tell certain people just because I'm not authorized to do it. But I know when I'm free to share things and to, you know, that I'm not necessarily free without that mandate to do, you know. So that's how it's been for me. I look to establish that on a daily basis. And I look to engage the court of angels a lot.
Yeah.
Because they have a big role to play in that we administer them and those realms, you know, and that again, that's what Satan didn't like.
Right.
He did not like these young upstarts with DNA coming into his spiritual realm and starting telling them what to do.
Mm.
That wasn't in his plan, although it was definitely in God's. And so he tried to hijack the whole process. And to be honest, he's done a really, really good job. You know, because ultimately, you know, there's the Council of 70 and the Galactic Council. You know, most of that Galactic Council should be made up of living people today because we should be administering that. And it isn't. Most of it's made up of past saints and living creatures and different things who are doing it because we aren't.
Right.
Because not many people have matured to that point where they can be involved at that level of government, you know. And that Galactic Council, in a sense, that, you know, it was the equivalent of the Sanhedrin, if you like, in Jesus's day, the seven who could pronounce judicial things. You know, I believe God is going to raise up councils of 70 in nations or regions or different things once we really start to establish that, and they will begin to administer. Just like the Galactic Council administered the affairs over, you know, a period of time, there will be that level of authority that's beginning to be administered, you know. But most people haven't even got a bench of 3 yet, let alone a 12 or a 70, you know. So we're starting, you know, from a point of just beginning to understand and grasp what it is to have a mountain and what that mountain means. But ultimately, there is so much more, you know. You know, I have no idea what the Court of Judges do because I've never been there. You know, I know they exist, but I've been to the Galactic Council and stood before them, and it was just like I couldn't even see. It was so bright, my eyes couldn't even see what was going on the first time I went there. It was just like, whoa, I can't see. You know, just like when I went into Heaven of Heavens for the first time, I couldn't breathe. The atmosphere is different. You know, everything down comes down in terms of government. Everything above that is a whole different thing. atmosphere, everything different. You know, I just like, oh, because I was the one familiar with it. I was like gasping. No, it's stupid because I didn't need to breathe. But in reality, though, the atmosphere was different. And I was in it, and I just wasn't used to the atmosphere. So I was just sort of like a fish out of water, really, you know. So there's a whole load more stuff, I think, that we've got to look forward to. But we just have to work through establishing these things in our lives so that we can outwork those as pathways and things, you know. I think some people think, surely it should be easier than this. We should just be able to do it. But, you know, that's why there are governors and tutors. We can't just do it. We're children. Mm-mm. Yeah, we've got to become mature. You don't become mature by someone laying hands on you. You know, you can have someone impart something to you as a seed, but you're responsible to cultivate and grow and nurture that seed. You know, and we all want sort of a bit of an instant push the button and get a microwave meal. But actually, microwave meals don't taste very nice when you have the real thing. You know, it's worth spending the time to prepare a really nice meal because it tastes so much better. And it's much better for you. But we've got to learn that actually those things take time. And are we willing to invest the time to learn how? You know, and that means changing our lifestyles to give us more opportunity for these things, even though we might not see the benefit of it immediately. You know, I know I'm not seeing the benefit, and we're not seeing the benefit church-wise yet, of administering these things, because we're just learning how to administer them. But we will if we persevere. And a lot of people give up because they're not seeing the results immediately. Right. You know, I think there are things that you get immediate things when you deal with things in the court. Sometimes you get immediate responses and changes. But a lot of these things, you know, when you bring a new law in, it can take years for the effect of that law to change culture. You know, culture didn't just happen overnight. It's not just going to change overnight. We have to change the culture by reestablishing how that's formed. That's why these things take time. But part of it is we've got to learn to persevere and not give up. You know, and not to have unreal expectations of really what God is going to be able to do through us at this point in time. You know, I'm not really expecting to stop every earthquake that happens. But there are a council that are limiting what's happening. You know, they do set limits on what the enemy can do. But I certainly don't feel there as yet. You know, and also part of my gifting and what God's called me to do is to go and find out new things and to help other people do them. I don't get to do it all, which is somewhat frustrating to a degree, because I would really like to think, okay, I'm just going to stick at this for the next 6 months and this is going to work. And God won't let me do that. He said, well, no, you've got to teach other people to do it. It's their responsibility. They will make it work if you can inspire them. And so I don't get to see an awful lot of the end product in a lot of things, because God just takes me to something else. But I just got to accept that and say, okay, well, that's part of what I do. You know, I'm going to invest in other people, and other people will get to see the results, and they'll get the fun. But actually, that's great, because I've had a little bit to play in it, and that's fine for me. And you know, I've sort of reconciled that, although I did struggle with it for a while. You know, because it's always good to see end product, isn't it? You know, but we will, you know, and I long for, you know, the things you'll be doing and the testimonies that you'll bring. That's awesome, you know. And when Vancouver changes and where different areas change, it's like, wow, yeah, that's awesome, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, we better leave it. Time's sort of up. But
I took all the time.
That's fine. In the meantime, you know, if there's anything next time you feel, you know, if you want to, you can let me know beforehand, or if you think, okay, it'll be really good to maybe go again, let's go and practice some of these things. Just let me know. I'm here to serve you. You know, I'm always happy to answer questions, but I'm also happy just to see if we can practice and have some fun. So, you know, just let me know what you would like, you know, when we get together next time, you know, we'll go from there. So, okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.